Good morning, this is Frank Settapani with the CBS World News Roundup. South African police fired on blacks marching toward a white suburb of Port Elizabeth today, killing 16 people and wounding dozens more. Police say the crowd, estimated at several thousand, refused an order to stop and threw stones and spears. But eyewitness accounts relayed by South African reporter Unziwaki Shalagoni tell a different story.
They never warned the youth to disperse. They just shot to them.
South Africa's black Anglican bishop, the Nobel Peace Prize winner Desmond Tutu, says the violence deeply distresses him. He fears it's becoming endemic.
The real culprit is really the apartheid system. Until that is dealt with, we are going to be having these outbreaks of violence and unrest.
Today's violence coincides with the 25th anniversary of the Sharpeville massacre, in which 69 blacks were shot down. Tony Donina went to Sharpeville today.
Many people stayed away from work. Schools were empty. Two government trucks were burned. Cars and police vans are being stoned. Sharpeville blacks were the first to protest laws that require them to carry identity documents. Those laws are still on the books in South Africa. The black fight for equality that began here 25 years ago shows no sign of easing. Sharpeville has been the scene of much unrest in recent months. Today, white administrators say all official personnel has been pulled out of the township. Police say they are afraid the unrest will continue through today and it may spread to neighboring townships. Tony Danina for CBS News, Sharpeville.
A major military operation involving Israeli troops is unfolding in southern Lebanon. Don McNeil reports from Tel Aviv.
The Israeli army confirms that an operation in south Lebanon this morning killed 20 terrorists. The army spokesman said that two Shiite villages north of the Israeli line of occupation were raided. The spokesman also said that a lot of arms and ammunition were captured. One Israeli soldier was slightly wounded. The spokesman said the operation has nothing to do with the ongoing fighting between Christian and Muslim militias in Sidon. Reports from Beirut said that hundreds of Israeli paratroopers, backed by tanks, armored personnel carriers, and helicopter gunships, moved north from the present Israeli-occupied zone into nine Shiite villages. The villages are in an area near Sidon, which the Israelis left just over a month ago in phase one of their staged withdrawal from Lebanon. Israel is speeding up its withdrawal from South Lebanon, but has stated it will not be tied down behind present occupation lines and will reserve the option to strike out whenever it deems it necessary for the protection of its forces. Don McNeil, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
Reports from New Delhi say gunmen firing from a motorcycle shot a Soviet diplomat to death today. The shooting took place not far from the Soviet embassy in the Indian capital and is the second incident there this week involving a Russian diplomat. A Soviet official went for a walk Sunday. He never returned. The economy may not be the roaring lion some experts had thought it was. Ray Brady reports.
The United States economy appears to be slowing down sharply. The Commerce Department, in its flash estimate on how well the economy is doing, says it is growing at an annual rate of just 2.1%. That's well under the 4% estimate most experts were making, and even that is far below the nearly 7% rate at which the economy grew last year. There was other bad news in the government estimate, figures showing inflation may be heating up again. This flash figure is for the first quarter of the year, and it's based on incomplete data. It can be and sometimes is revised later on as more information becomes available. Still, the report notes that the high level of foreign goods coming into this country is beginning to have an effect, robbing U.S. manufacturers of sales they would otherwise have and slowing down the economy. Ray Brady, CBS News, New York.
Offices occupied by the National Airline of Jordan were attacked in three cities this morning. Tony Messina reports from Rome, where one of the attacks took place.
The burst from the hand grenades was heard by shopkeepers and cafe waiters on the same street as the Royal Jordanian Airlines office, a crowded part of town near Rome's fashionable Via Veneto and a block from the American Embassy. But while the noise was loud, the damage was small, thanks mostly to bulletproof glass in the airline office window, which was perforated but didn't shatter. Two Jordanian airline employees were wounded. The attackers, said to be dark-skinned, fled by foot with one or two accomplices to a nearby subway entrance. Police say the grenades used were foreign-made. The attack appears to have been part of a coordinated strike. Grenades went off in two other Jordanian airline offices today in Athens and Nicosia, Cyprus. Officials here hypothesize that Middle Eastern or Iranian extremists could have organized the attacks in opposition to Jordan's King Hussein, who recently visited Iraq and who has been working closely with PLO leader Yasser Arafat. Tony Messina for CBS News, Rome.
Fresh air attacks and ground fighting are reported in the Persian Gulf War between Iraq and Iran. The significant new development appears to be Iraq's ability to inflict damage on the Iranian oil facility at Karg Island. This is freelance cameraman Eric Dershmead on assignment in Baghdad for CBS News.
A diplomat has told me that he has unrefutable proof that the Iraqis have struck at the main terminal in Karg. This happened on Tuesday, and apparently one fuel storage tank was exploded. 24 hours later, they struck again. This time, they hit an Iranian supply vessel, also within the vicinity of the port directly. This indicates that the Iraqis have overcome the formidable Iranian anti-air defenses of the oil terminal itself.
Eric Dershmead in Baghdad. President Reagan holds a press conference tonight, and we get a preview from John Ferrugia at the White House.
First on the agenda is the MX missile. Mr. Reagan has won the MX battle in the Senate, and while two House votes next week are uncertain, the momentum is certainly with the president. He may use his opening statement to lobby again for passage of the system he says will signal American resolve at the arms talks in Geneva. Those talks could be a springboard for questions concerning U.S.-Soviet relations. How does the president perceive the new Russian leadership? And has he gotten a response to his invitation for a summit meeting with the Soviets? The president might also be quizzed on his Central America policy. He is getting ready for an offensive on Capitol Hill aimed at new funding for Nicaraguan Contras, the rebels trying to overthrow the Sandinista government. It will be a tough legislative battle, but a battle the president thinks he can win if he takes his case directly to the American people in live telecasts like tonight's news conference. John Ferrugia, CBS News, the White House.
Most of the privately insured Ohio savings and loans that were ordered shut last week could reopen for limited business before this week is out. The Federal Reserve, meanwhile, is pledging its support for efforts by the state to halt the panic that was triggered by the collapse of a savings institution in Cincinnati. The Fed's commitment seems to be calming the jittery foreign exchange markets. The dollar rallied modestly today, and gold was fixed in London at $312.50 the ounce. That was down $11.50 from the price quoted in New York late last night.